Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's a great joy for me to see you again and to be among you. And I would like to welcome you all into the house of the Lord. Let us begin then by a word of prayer. We can close our eyes. Faithful Father, wonderful God, I stand before you, a weak man, a sinful man, a hopeless man. Yet, O God, in you I have so much hope, strength, and courage. Before you, O God, is your people, eager to listen and hear you speak. Will you speak to us? Will you use this mouth of clay? Will you use this person who's not even deserving to be used by you? Will it please you, O God, to speak to us for the glory of Christ? We ask all this in the name of your Son, that we may touch each and every soul even this morning, that we may open our ears and our eyes of the Spirit to hear from you, to learn from you, but also help us, Lord, to apply that which we hear from the altar this morning. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Church of God say, Amen.
Amen.
Church, we continue on our series of study in the Gospel according to Matthew. Let us turn together to Matthew chapter number 7. And this morning we look at what is generally known as the Golden Rule. I will explain what is that is. The Golden Rule. We read Matthew chapter number 7, verse 12. And it reads as following. So, whatever you wish that others will do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. What is the golden rule? Firstly, friends, the term golden rule is not a term that was coined by the Lord Jesus Christ, or is not a term that you will find in the scriptures written for you to see it there. However, Christians throughout the ages have used this term so that they may remember what the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ meant for them, especially in this verse number 12. The golden rule simply is the fact that we should relate well with one another. It is a rule laid down by the Lord Jesus Christ on how we should treat each other as people, as Christians, and as people in general. And this morning we shall see then the importance of understanding this golden rule, because sometimes we think of this golden rule in a way that only suits ourselves. We think of this golden rule in a side way, so to say. In other words, what I mean by that, we only think that others should treat us well, but we fail to continue to think that we must also treat people in the same way we wish that they will treat us. A few days ago, I was telling my wife that I'll be preaching from this verse. And we were discussing. And a few minutes later, I actually realized how I personally need this verse in my own life. And I wish and I hope that we also will realize how much we need this verse, but not to know this verse, to apply this verse as the Lord Jesus Christ will teach us to apply this verse. So, like I said, the golden rule teaches us the right way to relate with other people. It springs forth from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as that greatest necessity of all human relation. And the problem is that we are a wretched people. We have sinful, evil hearts. So in that way, we fail, dismal fail, to apply what the scripture teaches to us. And we only think we deserve to be treated in this way. We don't think that other people also deserve to be treated in the way that we wish to be treated. Just to give you again the background, not just of where we are, but where we have been. Jesus Christ has been dealing with the issue of relationships. He has been dealing with an issue of relationship between us and God, and between us and those who are around us. Then he continued to teach us on how to pray. He gave us that pattern of prayer in Matthew chapter number 6. And as we are continuing that, we learn also that we should not be hypocritical in our judgment. He taught us not to be hypocrites, but to firstly judge ourselves. But as we do also judge ourselves, not to forget that we must apply righteous judgment where it is necessary. Then he continued to remind us that we need to ask. A-S-K. To ask means to ask from the Lord, to seek his way and his will, and to knock until an answer is coming to us. Not to knock down the door until an answer comes to you, but to knock at the door because you know that behind the door there is a great God that you worship, and he will open the door and give you the desires of your heart. He was reminding us that we need to continue to persevere in persistent prayer, to pray until something happens. As we were dealing with that, then he was teaching us of our greatest need, that we need God in all of circumstances. And this morning is about to remind us again that we need God. We really need God in learning, or to learn how to deal with other people. Because should this be left to us, on how to deal with people, we will not know how to deal with people. We need the grace of God. So from this verse this morning, Jesus Christ revealed three essential truths. Three truths in order to help us to deal right and to relate well with fellow brothers and sisters. The first thing that we see from this verse is that this golden rule is every man's personal wish. If you are right, you can write that down. The golden rule is man's personal wish. We read in the scripture in verse number 12, it says, "So whatever you wish that others will do to you, do also to them." Jesus says there is something that we desire for ourselves, something that we desire for our happiness, and it is laid at the bottom of our own hearts. Within our hearts, there is that positive desire, or we desire something that is positive for ourselves. We desire this thing, and we desire that others will treat us in that way in which we feel. We want people to make us happy. And if you ask people around, even if I can ask you here, will you appreciate it if people treat you well? Everybody will say yes, because it is in the bottom of our hearts as human beings that we wish others will treat us well. You go around, you ask, people will tell you the reason why they leave their jobs, or the reason they are not happy with their current employment, or they are not happy in their marriages, or they are not happy in their relationships, is because someone is not treating them in an honorable way. And that makes them unhappy. because we are a people who wants or wishes to be treated in an honorable way. We do not appreciate it when people treat us wrong. So friends, that is what is laid at the bottom of each and every one of us' heart. It is obvious then that we have that deep desire to be respected, to be honored by everyone. Yet, friends, we treat other people in contrary to how we wish them to treat us. What we do to people is not what we wish them to do unto us. We do not handle people in the right way. We do not respect people the way we should. And of course, friends, it does not mean that we intentionally do that all the time. Sometimes it is ignorance. But such ignorance opens the door for the devil to use us to hurt other people in that particular dark moment, regardless of the fact that we will not appreciate it when those people will do such thing unto us. I want you to notice in your verse there, Jesus begins with the word so. Other versions of the Bible will have the word therefore. What does that tell you? Jesus makes a connection between what he said prior to what he's saying now. So Jesus is making a connection between the upper verses and the verse that we have before us. That is what Jesus is doing. So when you consider the above verses, you soon realize, friend, that God is a God with a good heart. That is what you see. You see in the upper verses that God will not give you a snake when you ask for a fish. God will not give you a stone when you ask for bread. And Jesus Christ said, in the same way then, that is what you should know. You need to learn from that. You yourself need to have the same attitude and the same mind towards other people. You need to read on how God treats sinful men, that you yourself will be able to treat those around you in the very same way. Remember, Jesus said in the verses above, even though that we have evil hearts, he was talking in general. He says, but we as people, even though we have evil hearts, we wish and we do actually good things for our own children. Now he's saying the very same good things that we do for our children, we wish that other people will do unto us. These good things that we wish other people will do unto us, unfortunately, is not what we are doing to them. But it's just a wish that we have. How unfair are we as a people? So friends, what we realize there is that regardless of how depraved, in other words, regardless of how desperately sick the heart is, the heart knows what is right. The heart knows what should be done. We all know the right thing to do. Yet, the very same right thing that we know we should do is not what we do. We wish no man good, but we wish ourselves all the good. Regardless of the fact that we have God who is an example to us. Regardless of the fact that the heart speaks as a testimony against what we're doing, we continue not to practice what is within our hearts. We want people to give us a second chance. Everybody here wants somebody to give him a second chance. But we are not willing to give other people a second chance. We want to be loved, but we hate people. We want to be respected, but we do not respect other people. We are a disrespectful people. We want to be forgiven, but we do not forgive. We do not forgive easy, but we want others to forgive us. We want our wives to respect us, but we do not love them in that godly way, which is laid down in scripture for us. We want our husbands to love us, but we don't honor them in the way that God has taught us to honor them. We want our parents to take good care of us, but we are a disrespectful, disobedient children. That is what we are. And in the same way, as we continue then to behave in that way, we become the cause of tension even in the midst of happiness. But Jesus says, we are created to be a relational and communal beings. We are created to relate with one another in a right way. Our own heart or our own conscience testifies of that fact. We share the same human desire, that relational desire, with everybody. We want someone to deal with us justly. We want someone to deal with us with a humble spirit. But sin has corrupted our discretion. In other words, sin has corrupted that ability to judge and do what is right. Not because we don't know, but there is a problem. We are a corrupted people, and consequently, we become rude. We become rude to one another. And the devil uses us to his advantage at that particular time. How does he use us to his advantage? He reactivates temporarily that ability to hurt one another. He reactivates the desires of the heart, which are sinful desires, because we allow him in that way. We want everyone to take good care of us, but we are not willing to do the same. We are those people who will give those who ask for fish, who will give them snakes. Those who ask for bread will give them stones. But we will not accept when people are doing the same to us. And friends, I look at myself. I search my own heart. And I wish that you look at yourself. You search your own heart. You tell me that you don't cry like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter number 7. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Because the right thing, I know the right thing. And the right thing that I know and I want to do is actually something that I don't do. And the evil desires or the evil things that I know they are evil is what I exactly do. That is what the Apostle Paul says. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? I hope you look at yourself and you say the same thing, my friend. I hope you look at yourself and you cry unto the Lord for mercy and grace. Because there is a war between us. Within us, not between. Within us, there is a war. The war of righteousness and the war of lawlessness. These two fight within our hearts. And in most cases, the wicked desires defeats the righteous efforts. We need to cry unto God. Jesus Christ says there's a truth within our heart, my friend. And our heart testify of these good things that we should be doing to other people. But the problem is that we only wish those things to be done unto us. We know the truth. But what is the problem? We suppress that truth. We generally want people to be concerned about our interests. We want people not to turn a blind eye on our troubles in this world. We desire people that will hear us when we cry. We desire that people will help us in our times of need and in our times of trouble. We desire that people will support us, that they will pray for us, that they will speak beautiful words. Of course, not to lie to us, but to encourage us. We desire those things. And that is the golden rule, my friends. Something that we all know, yet we do not do. But what you see here, friends, is that Jesus is really concerned about the issue of the heart. He says, there is something good that you wish. But again, it's not something that you're doing. There is something wrong there. He's concerned about the issue of the heart. The heart look at self. Self-centered people we are. Jesus here, he gives us this positive statement, friends, to expose our greatest need. We need the grace of God so that we do what we wish others will do for us. How can we do such? Because I said, if it's left unto us to do so, we fail to do so. I think in the same verse we find the answer. Secondly, I want you to see that the golden rule is Christ's commanded rule. Not a man-made rule. It is Christ's commanded rule. He says, do also to them. This is not the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I can see that within your heart, there is something that you wish for yourself, but it's not that you are doing that. I am saying then, the very same thing that you wish for yourself, do unto others. So Jesus Christ is giving us a basic godly ethic. In other words, he is giving us his own desire for us towards one another. The way of life. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is giving to the Christian. He commands this because we fail to apply this rule, this truth, which is within our own hearts. Why? Because in the very same heart, there is sin that is reigning there. That is why we fail. So, now he commands this so that we may obey what he commands. So that whenever we do this in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we do this because it is the right thing to do. We are failing to do it when it is the right thing to do. But the only way to do it is when it is a command to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. So he gives us this so that the world will see that our righteousness is not the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Our righteousness exceeds that righteousness. We don't have a self-righteous heart, but we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness that comes through faith. That is why he's commanding this. So he instructs us to do this. He says, do also to them. He has an audience that we must do something towards that audience. And first, church, the audience is the children of God. And secondly, the audience is the world, is the world at large. And I will show it to you later that this is also to the world at large. But it says, what you need to do is actually within your own heart. So Jesus Christ is trying here to help us not to fall to sin of omission. In other words, not to do sin deliberately. Because the sin of omission, friends, is when you sin knowing that actually what I'm doing is sin. And sometimes we sin in that way whereby we don't do what we know is right. We just stand back. That is also a sin. We know what is right. We are not doing it. He says here, I want to save you from the sin of omission. Because your sinful heart refrain you from doing what is right. But now you will do this that is right because there is this bright shining commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ reigning within your heart. You have to have the commandment of Christ reigning within your heart. It must be the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ that will activate your doing that you may do it in the right way. Because if it's left unto us, I repeat again, we are not able to do these good things. So Jesus reveals here that we should rely on him, friends. Because we fail ourselves. When this is left unto us to do, we fail ourselves. Therefore, this commandment becomes helpful. It becomes helpful because doing good or relating well to these people or those around us now is not something that I only wish I could do, but it becomes something that Jesus commands me to do. That is why, friends, when we sin against one another, we are also sinning against God. So what we see here is that this is a command of love. This is the command whereby Jesus Christ commands us to love our enemies. We have dealt with that. This is the command whereby Jesus Christ commands us to love our neighbors regardless of what they do unto us. But we need to love them. Because only love can cause us to relate well with other people. Only love can cause us to show that we are the children of the kingdom of God. Only such love. If we apply such love, only then the people will see that definitely something has happened in the hearts of these people. Only the love that comes from God. So, Jesus gives us this positive. This is a positive command. Why is he giving the Christian this positive command? Because the Christians have a greater example in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our great example in doing such things, in doing good for those who are not doing good for him. The Bible tells us that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still in our wretchedness state, while we were living in our rebellion against his rule, while we were his enemies, God did not count our troubles, he did not count our sin and look at our failures and judge us according to what we have done, according to what we have done and the things that we are still going to do. He did not look at that. He sent his son, born of a virgin, born under the law, that he may redeem those who are trapped under the law, those who are in sin. He overlooked our attitude towards him. He did something that he wished we could do for him. I want you to notice that. He did something, listen careful, that he wished we could do for him. So he did it as he was wishing, and we were not doing it. He loved us first. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us first and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin." What is propitiation? He sent his son to be the wrath remover of our sin. He sent his son to be the pleasing sacrifice to God on behalf of sinful men. He sent his son, who was sinless, to become sin for us, to take our place. He didn't wait for us to come running to him, because he would be waiting for all eternity if he would wait for us. He sent his son. His son came, and he was nailed on that cross. And he says in his word, "When I'm lifted up, I will call all men unto me." And he did exactly that. It is why me and you are seated here knowing for sure that we are the children of God. But I'm going to repeat. He did something that he wished we could do it, but we didn't do it. So he did it first. He loved us. That is the teaching then of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the command. This is the command that Jesus Christ is giving to us, that we do something before someone else do it unto us. Listen to the verse. "The very same thing that you wish, do also." It's not saying the very same thing that you wish, wait until someone is doing it to you. You do also. But I'm saying this is a positive command because we have this great example. God sent his son. So this is Christ's rule of love. He says then, "Lead the way. Show the people how it is done." Because you have the outline, you have the example, you know exactly what should be done. Christ has done it for you. Especially speaking to us 2,000 years later. Of course, the disciples didn't have such an application, but to us it's better because we know that after this, Christ went to the cross. Now we've got a better example. He says, "Lead the way. Let it be you who start first." That is the difficult part. You need to be the one that starts first to relate well with others. You're not going to wait for your neighbor to greet you. You need to greet first. And I can tell you, friends, I just moved into a new area. I had to greet everybody. And I'm telling you, they are not greeting back. These people here are not greeting back. But it's fine. We're going to continue to greet until we all. They have their own reasons. Probably I look like a thief. Probably I look like a robber. And Baba Ras is agreeing, he's laughing. I look like a thief. But the point that I'm trying to bring, my friends, you do first before you, they do it unto you. So, it is in your heart. You know what is right. But secondly, it is what Christ commands you to do. It is displayed. This is displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to look upon Him and do what is right. You need to look upon Him and repent from doing what is wrong. Let this be the commandment that sink deep into your heart and search those secret compartments of your heart and become the rule of your own life. That is what Jesus Christ is saying. I want you to look at this. He says do. Do you see the word there? Do. Let me explain again. This means execute immediately. I'm re-emphasizing here. The word do means execute immediately. In other words, you don't wait, like I was saying. You do. You execute what is within your heart and you wish others to do. And I want you to notice, Jesus Christ here, friends, is not specific. Jesus Christ is not saying you should only execute or do these things to the Christians or your lovely family. No, Jesus Christ is speaking in general. We need to do these things to all men. The question is, why all men? Simply because our God that we worship is a God who shows no partiality. So we also need to show no partiality, no favoritism to all men. This must be done. God, we have read before, He makes His sun to shine for everyone. He makes His rain to fall on everyone. In the same way, we need to treat those who are around us. We must show no partiality. But this also, friends, is a test of faith. Because it is not simple to love those who hate you and to love those who hate you. This is not simple. So Jesus Christ is giving us a test of faith. We need to learn here that our conducts are not subject to what we feel. Our conducts should be subject to what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. But again, our conducts towards others are not subject to how they treat us. They are subject on what Christ is commanding us. Friends, I heard someone, I'm not sure I read, but some time ago, I heard someone, or I read somewhere, when somebody said, you treat me good, I'll treat you better. You treat me bad, I'll treat you worse. And that is how the world feels, friends. That is what people think. What you do, I do to you afterwards. So we wait there for someone to do something. If you do bad against me, I'll do worse. You hate me, I hate you worse. Jesus Christ says no, not for the believer. The believer listens to the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer looks within his own heart and see, is there something that I wish for myself? If there is something that I wish for myself, then I must apply that to those other people before they could apply it unto me. That is the difference between the teaching of the world and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world needs to see through us, friends, that Jesus Christ emptied Himself. He took a form of man. He humiliated Himself. He condescended from heaven and took our form. And He humbled Himself to the point of death. He carried the cross for us. We need to carry the cross as well and treat others well. Because Jesus Christ laid down His life for those who did not treat him right. So friends, treating others well or relating well with people becomes an evidence that you are working towards the perfection which God requires from you. It shows that you love those who hate you. You love others as you love yourself. You love your enemies. You pray for those who persecute you. You give to those who ask from you.
And you do not refuse the one who borrow you, who borrow from you. Remember where we read these verses in chapter 5, where we said, the Lord Jesus Christ says, there will be a time people will persecute you, and then this, as they persecute you, they will be in need and come to ask you to help them. He says, you help them. This is an evidence that though they are doing bad or terrible things towards you, you continue to express your Christian character. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. It says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Friends, this is Christ's rule of love. You do first as you wish them to do unto you. You're not waiting. But I need to warn you, friends. Treating others well and relating well with people does not mean that they will return the favor. It doesn't mean that when you treat people well, they will treat you well. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He treated people good. He loved everybody. He was not loved. He honored men, but men did not honor him. He condescended from heaven to save us from our sin. Yet he was rejected, and he is still rejected today by the whole world. So as you doing good for people, don't think that you are doing this good so that the people also may do unto you. They may not. So friends, this is not that Swazi saying which says, ikote ikotai. What does that mean? You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Actually, this saying was taken when people were looking at the conduct of the cows or the cattle in the field. You will see a cow, the cow will only lick the one that licks her. So he will not lick any other cow, but the one that... Jesus says, no, you go and lick first. You go and do first what you wish others must do upon you. You don't wait to be licked. You go, you do something. But in doing that, do not do and expect a payback. It may not come. That is the beauty of Christianity. This is Christ's command. Christ's command, friends, is not based on how you treat me. It is based on how I want to be treated, and then I need to treat people in the same way. It doesn't look at what you do, it looks at what I wish it should be done. Doesn't this remind you that you yourself were once his enemy, but now seated at his table? Why? He did something first that you could not do. But I want you to see here now that this golden rule is compulsory. Thirdly, the golden rule is God's standard of life. Not only is what people wish for themselves, not only is it a Christ commandment to the church, but it is God's standard of all life. It is compulsory to all men, even those who are not here. It is not just a Christian rule. That's what I want you to show. That's what I want to show you in the third place. Look at the verse. It says, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, this is the summary of that which God has spoken. It is a requirement for all human beings. Remember the story of Cain? I spoke about Cain last week. Cain was required to relate well with his brother. But he failed. He killed his innocent brother. What does that tell you, friend? If God required this from Cain, a man of such an evil heart, no human being in this world is exempt from this requirement. It is a requirement to us all. So Jesus Christ says, even if you are not in Christ, it is required of you to treat people well. Each and every man must treat another one in the right way, because it is required by the law of God. It says, it is the law, and it is the law and the prophets. It is God's standard of life. And everybody knows this, friends. Everybody knows, but what is the problem? Since everybody knows and no one is doing it,
What is the problem? We think that it's just a good idea. People think that it's just a good idea and it's a matter of choice. You can do whatever you choose. And there are those who does not want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they will separate this from Jesus Christ and just say, no, it's just common sense that we should treat each and every one of us the right way. Friends, it may be common sense, but let me give you the bad news. It is God's command. It is the bad news to those who does not want to listen to God. This is God's standard of life for all humanity. What Jesus reveals here is that God has been kind enough. Listen, God has been kind enough to show us His mind, to show us how He wants us to operate in this world. He says, each and every man, woman and child, needs to treat one another the right way. So friends, it is against God's will that a man will claim to be religious, yet plant a bomb and kill innocent people. That is not God's standard of life. It is against God's will that you will kidnap people and claim to be a religious hero. It is not according to God's standard. It is against God's will that you will have people calling themselves Christians, but they continue practicing racism. Because racism, friends, is hatred. And hatred is sin. That is not God's standard. But it is also not God's will that you, African man, woman, and child, will be a xenophobic person, whereby you are a tribalist. Because tribalism is a sign that you are a wicked, sinful man in his trespasses. You need the grace of God. So no one can escape the law of God. It is a standard for all human life. God wants us to employ this golden rule and apply it to each and every one of us. He expects all of His creatures to treat each other in the way that He treats everyone. How does God treat everybody? I quoted, He makes His sun to shine for everyone. He gives praise to everybody. Everyone has something to eat. Even those who are poor, there's grace that God is giving unto them. Life itself is grace. We need, the whole world need, to apply this standard of life. He expects it from all His creatures. Non-Christians, Christians. Non-religious people, and religious people. Jesus says, the substance of the Old Testament, the summary of the law, it is that. The summary of what else God will require from men for personal and interaction between one another is this rule. To love, to relate well, to do good to one another. He says we need to be neighborly. And we know that God wants us to be neighborly. This is to all men. Remember when King David jumped the fence and went to another man's wife. He says, let us not be like King David who sneak into another man's wife. That is not God's standard of life. That is not to be neighborly. You don't want to be treated that way. Why would you treat other people in that way? Do not be like the Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. That is not the way God wants life to be. Do not be like the old regime, the apartheid regime, who oppressed men, women, and children, deprived them of their own human rights, hatefully treated them in that way. That is not the right way of life. But friends, the same requirements that God requires from the world, back in the day, in the days of David, He's requiring it today. He wants us, who calls ourselves free South Africans, to stop hatred, to stop racism, to stop tribalism. That one is from Malawi, one from Zambia, one is from Maputo, one is from Lesotho. That is what is happening in our country. We need to pray because God has given this as a standard of life. Because when you do that, friends, you are not only sinning against your constitution, we are sinning against God Himself, the God of heaven. We are not only sinning against your fellow human beings, we are sinning against the one who died for them and hang on that cross. Friends, this is a call for us to search our own hearts, to see what God requires from us. But here's a deal breaker, my friend. As I'm saying, this is God's standard of life. There are people out there who have been doing good for each and every person that they meet. There are those kind of people out there who glory in doing good. They feel good when they are doing good. They build houses for the poor. They give food to the hungry. But here is the deal breaker, my friend. The fact that we are doing what God requires as a standard of life does not make the one who does so be a righteous person. It doesn't make him be the person who will be in heaven one day. Why? Because, friends, this is not the gospel. I'm going to repeat. God's standard of life is not the gospel. To treat people well is good, but it is not the gospel. It is not your ticket unto heaven. You can build people's houses. You can give clothes to the poor. You can be in jail for 50 years for the freedom of other people. But that doesn't mean you have earned your ticket unto heaven. There is no amount of good works and works of charity that can open the windows of heaven that your blessing may be showered down unto you and turn your life and make you a Christian. There is no amount of work that one day when you pass on from this world, God will say, well done, good and righteous person. That is not the gospel. But how do I enter into the kingdom of God? Of course, this is right, I must do. But the only way to enter into the kingdom of God is that I must be born from above. The Spirit of God must change my life. Something from outside of me needs to come into my life and change me. Someone greater than me, someone greater than my sin, needs to come and give me a clean heart. Because my heart, left to myself, will continue to do the evil that I don't want to do. So Christ has to come and give me a clean heart. And then when Christ gives me the clean heart, I continue to do this now, not as something that I do so that I may end eternal life, but because I have eternal life. And I want the other people to see that I have eternal life. I want them to see Christ working in me. And when they can see Christ working in me, they may also turn from their sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing the right thing is right, but it's not the passport to heaven. Only Jesus Christ is the passport unto heaven. So the requirement is that you may be born from above, my friends. Let me close in this way. Let me remind you again what I said this morning. This golden rule is something that we all wish, but it is not something that we do. But thanks be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that Christ commands. So it is something that Christ gives by grace unto those who have believed that they are able to perform and perfect. So He commands us. So we do this not because we wish it should be done unto us, but we do this because Christ's command is and expects it. But also, the people who have not come into the Lord Jesus Christ, God requires this from them. It is a standard of life. If you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't say, God only wants the believers to do what is right. You also need to do what is right. But in doing what is right, be warned, it is not a passport to heaven. This is the law of the Lord. This is the summary of everything that you need to take into your own heart as a requirement for all human relationship. It is Christ's command to do it. It is the standard of God for all people. Do it. Don't wait for someone else to relate well with you before you relate with that person. Don't wait for someone to love you before you love that person. Do not wait for someone to do anything good for you before you can do any good. You are a child of God. Do as your Father has done unto you. He loved us first and gave us His Son. the Lord Jesus Christ. In that way, we look unto heaven. We cry for mercy. Lord, help us, your people. We want, we wish things good for us. Help us to apply them, the very same things that we wish for ourselves. I pray the Lord to bless you as you work in your own hearts to apply this truth. In Jesus' name, let's pray.